God's Plan for Evil and Sin by Steve Martin. Chapter 4 of 4. The Final Outcome. God's plan, despite its often difficult and painful stages, moves with certainty toward a glorious conclusion. In the end, God does not just manage the problem of sin, he resolves it completely, abolishes death, and establishes his perfect and loving rule over all of creation. The Traitor's Role. Re-examining Judas Iscariot. The case of Judas Iscariot, whose betrayal of Jesus is seen as one of history's worst sins, serves as the ultimate test of our understanding of God's sovereignty. A closer look reveals that Judas was not acting of his own free will, but was compelled by a convergence of irresistible forces, all ordained by God. His betrayal was made inevitable by several key factors: prophecy, Judas's actions, including the purchase of the field of blood and the loss of his apostleship, were predicted in the scriptures centuries before he was born. Chosen for the role, Jesus himself chose Judas as one of his disciples, knowing from the beginning that he was the adversary who would give him up. Divine intercession withheld. When Satan desired to sift the apostles, Jesus prayed specifically for Peter that his faith would not fail. Scripture records no such intercession being made for Judas, reinforcing that his role was inescapable. Satanic influence. In the final moments, the overwhelming force of Satan himself entered into Judas, displacing his own will. Christ's words. Far from trying to stop him, Jesus recognized the fulfillment of Scripture and urged him on, saying, "What you are doing, do more quickly." How can this be just? Christ himself speaks to the tragedy of the situation, stating, "Ideal were it for him, Christ, if that man were not born." This highlights the grief that the situation caused Christ, not the eternal damnation of Judas. Since God himself ordained this terrible role for Judas, a role he was powerless to refuse, divine justice demands a divine resolution. God's ultimate purpose of reconciliation through the cross is powerful enough to include even the one known as the Son of Destruction, demonstrating the immense and incomprehensible scope of God's mercy. If even the Son of Destruction has a place in God's ultimate reconciliation, then sin itself must have an end date. The end of sin. The Bible teaches that sin, having served its temporary purpose in God's plan, will be brought to a complete and final end. This happens in two distinct ways: through repudiation and justification. Repudiation. At the conclusion of the eons, sin is repudiated. It is rejected, cast off, and nullified, Hebrews 9:26. Its purpose as a tool to reveal God's grace will have been fully served, and it will be discarded forever. Justification. Sin is also justified or vindicated. This does not mean sin was good in itself. Rather, it means that its results, when processed through the sacrifice of Christ, are proven to have been essential for producing a far greater good: the glory of God and the unending blessing of his creatures. Even the so-called unpardonable sin of Israel's kingdom is not a barrier to God's ultimate plan. The scripture specifies that the pardon for this unique sin is withheld in this eon and in that which is future, limiting the consequence to specific ages, not for all of eternity. In the final state, death itself is abolished. Since sin is a product of mortality, a result of humanity's dying state, the end of death means the end of sin. Sin will cease to exist. Its memory will only remain as an eternal testament to God's goodness, forever deepening the appreciation his creatures have for the grace that saved them from it. This complete and total victory over sin and death leads us to the final, foundational truth of this entire guide: the absolute and perfect sovereignty of God, the God of all things. The central argument of this book is that a God who is truly God must be sovereign over all things. He cannot be a limited deity who is merely reacting to events. He is the first cause, the originator of everything. As the prophet Isaiah declares in God's name, "I am Yahweh, and there is none else, former of light and creator of darkness, maker of peace and creator of evil. I, the Yahweh, am maker of all these." Isaiah 45:6-7. Any belief system where God is surprised by sin, thwarted by Satan, or overruled by human free will presents a weak, struggling deity, not the all-powerful God of the Bible. He is a God who is in complete control, even of the opposition he faces. This does not make God evil. Just as opposing forces are necessary for progress in the physical world, like the opposing poles of a magnet that generate power in a dynamo, or the force of gravity that allows us to walk, God uses opposition to his revealed will to accomplish his ultimate loving intention. Though his ways are often mysterious and beyond our full comprehension, God's absolute control over everything, including the darkest and most painful parts of existence, is not a cause for fear. It is the ultimate foundation for our hope and peace. It is the absolute assurance that his good, perfect, and loving purpose was never in jeopardy, and will, in the end, triumph completely and gloriously for all creation.